I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Well, good evening and welcome to the John Whitmer Show. Hope you're enjoying your Memorial Day weekend. Happy to have you with us this evening here at your local liberal resistance headquarters, where we proudly champion the conservative principles of limited government, individual liberty, free enterprise, and traditional values. Thrilled to have you with us this evening. If you'd like to call in, our studio lines are open. You can reach me at 316-869-1330 by email at john@knssradio.com, on Facebook at The John Whitmer Show, and on X or you know, Twitter, depending on if you've gotten on board with the name change, at John R. Whitmer. Reach out. We'd love to hear from you. A programming note, quick programming note. Next Sunday, we will be broadcasting remote at the AFP headquarters downtown at Union Station. We'll be live on location next Sunday. The event starts at 6, so you can come join us at AFP's headquarters at Union Station. We've got all the information on the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. It's all brought to you by our friends at Eck Insurance, so make sure you come join us next Sunday at AFP's headquarters downtown. Should be a lot of fun. In the meantime, we've got a great show planned for you tonight. Frontline's White House correspondent Monica Page will be with us to tell us about her experiences covering the Biden and Trump White Houses. My, what an upgrade we've had in White House press secretary. I'm going to have to ask her about that, just what the difference is, because I know she served under the Biden administration, under Karine Jean-Pierre. And now, of course, we've got such an upgrade. I will have to ask her about that. See if she'll take the bait and give us an analysis. So, I may have to ask. I may have to ask her about Biden's cognitive decline. We'll see if she'll take that question too. First District Congressman Tracy Mann and I sat down on Wednesday and we talked about whether or not he thought that the House would be able to pass the big, beautiful bill. Well, obviously now we know they did, but it still was a fascinating conversation. And he also talked about how the left has just been demonizing the bill. We'll play that conversation for you here coming up in a few minutes. And we'll talk with Kansas State School Board member Debbie Potter about why she says the Kansas Department of Education has been running the show rather than the board itself. And Gaurav Lal, who's head of partnership at True Play Games, who just come out with a really cool new game. We'll tell you about that, too. But at any rate, he's going to tell us why so many say Colorado is what happens when Christians don't actively teach moral truth. I lived in Colorado for a couple of years. One of the reasons why I'm a Broncos fan. I have no idea what's going on. Maybe they just smoke too much pot. But I have no idea what's going on in Colorado. And, of course, we'll be taking your calls at 316-869-1330. So I did it again, folks. We sent someone down to check out the protests. You know, the wackadoodles have been down in downtown Wichita protesting again. And look, folks, the American left is nothing more than a skin of online activism over the endless capacity for real and dangerous political violence. It's masking it. It's the signs, the loud mouths, that's the cover, folks. There's a dangerous undercurrent, and we have to be aware of it. You know, back in April, the offices of New Mexico's Republican Party were hit by arson. ICE equals KKK. Remember that? No one was killed or injured, but I mean, this is by good fortune. Jim Comey posted a message on social media recently that read 86-47 and then tried to walk it back by claiming he didn't know what 86 meant. The message of and intent of these acts is clear. No matter the American people in November's election resoundingly spoke across racial, class, and gender lines to demand border enforcement, the message is clear. We're going to burn and break and kill until we get what we want. And as Jim Comey's not-so-subtle 86-47 call for violence is rapidly becoming the chant of the day for left-wing activists. Just yesterday, they were right here in downtown Wichita. Here's what was recorded. Now, you can hear in the first part of that clip, they were saying it, 86-47, 86-47, that's kill. Kill it. I worked in restaurant food service for years. 86 an item means kill it. Take it off the menu. It's done. We're out. We're done. 86 it. Kill it. Of course, they followed it up with that ludicrous, you know, make love, not hate bullcrap, bullpucky. You know, make America great. I mean, come on, stupid. The hypocrisy is resplendent here. By the way, thanks to my buddy Hunter Larkin, who recorded that for me. And they tried to cover it up with, you know, vote, not hate, make America great. They don't understand or they're incapable of comprehending the irony of how hypocritical that is. But this all follows the same pattern, histrionic, inflammatory rhetoric from national Democrats, their pet journalists and pro-activist cadres, followed by brute squads, basically deployed to do the dirty work. And then empty criticism from liberal elected officials in platitudes say, oh, we condemn this stuff. We condemn it. We condemn it. But they don't really do it. And then, of course, the occasional endorsement from crackpots like Rashida Tlaib. The playbook stretches from all the way back to George Floyd, the Occupy movement, the two assassination attempts, and all the left screeches that Republicans are the violent ones who undermine democracy. You know, the whole peaceful protest bull. And it sends a different message when it's accompanied by ongoing political violence, two assassination attempts, and Democrats can barely manage to regret it, let alone condemn it. The modern America left is not a political movement in the traditional sense. It's a crust a thin veneer of hashtag activism and moral preening laid over a seething, bottomless capacity for real, tangible political violence. And the scary part is the crust is getting even thinner. Let's take a trip down memory lane. Summer of 2020, cities burned, businesses destroyed, entire neighborhoods hijacked in so-called autonomous zones of peaceful protest. Was that peaceful protest? It was domestic upheaval. It was domestic terrorism. And yet the media, the universities, the elite class, they all covered for it. Called it justice. Called it mostly peaceful. It was a few windows, you know, just a big deal. Some broken glass, no big deal. A few people been hurt, right? No big deal. Of course, January 6th was an insurrection. It was worse than World War II. It was worse than the Holocaust. That just, you know, 2020 was just peaceful protests. But if you, an everyday American, raise your voice at a school board meeting, call the FBI, you're labeled an extremist, a threat, a terrorist. That's the double standard. And that's the game. Now, the left loves to posture online. Trust me, I've been a victim of it. They're brave behind a screen. They slap a Ukrainian flag emoji next to their pronouns, and they believe they're generals in a global war against oppression. But when the rubber meets the road, when their power feels threatened, their tactics turn even darker, more dangerous. We've seen conservative speakers chased off campuses, not with debate, but with threats. Just ask my friend Riley Gaines. Violence, fire alarms pulled, fists thrown. Why? Because disagreement is no longer acceptable to them. Only submission is. And don't think for a second that this is just fringe behavior. It's institutional. It's systemic. It's protected. They've got DAs who refuse to prosecute rioters. But God help you if you defend your home or your business. The full weight of the state will come down on you. It's not just about riots. It's about ideology enforced by intimidation. Look how quickly corporations, universities, and media outlets cave when activists start pounding on the table. Not through argument, not through reason, but through fear or bad press of lawsuits or being doxxed and harassed. This is not democracy in action. This is coercion dressed up in the language of compassion. The American left wants to be seen as the underdog, the brave resistor, the champions of democracy. But they've held the cultural high ground for decades. They've run the universities, they've run Hollywood, they've run the media, they shape the narratives in newsrooms and boardrooms, and yet they're still pissed off. They're still violent, still convinced that anyone who disagrees with them must be destroyed, not debated. So what are we left with? A movement that tweets about equity in the morning and torches police cars at night. A movement that cries fascism while practicing it. A movement that wraps itself in slogans like, love is love. You know, sort of like a movement here in Wichita that stands out there and says, you know, with love, not hate, make America great. That's what they're talking about. Platitudes. And let me be clear, we're not talking about your average Democrat who just wants good schools and safe streets. I'm talking about the angry, avowed fascists, the socialists who want to blow the whole thing up, the crazies who told me a few weeks ago that Elon Musk was a Nazi because he breathed and was parading around with a bloody, severed Trump head. We're talking about an ideological machine that's willing to burn down everything to get its way. And until more people call it what it is, political violence dressed up as virtue, we'll keep losing ground. So don't be fooled by the Instagram posts or the T-shirts with pithy slogans. The American left isn't just about feelings and hashtags. Underneath that crust lies something far more volatile. And we'd better wake up to it before we're all living under its boot. We'll take a quick break, and then Kansas State School Board member Debbie Potter will explain why she says the Kansas Department of Education has been running the show rather than the Board of Education. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. I want to remind you about our friends at Americans for Prosperity. Don't forget, next Sunday we'll be broadcasting live from AFP's headquarters here in Wichita down at Union Station. Come on down and join us. It's going to be a lot of fun. We'll have some food, a little bit of refreshments, have some conversation, and of course, we'll be broadcasting live. So you can come in, sit down, have a conversation on the air, watch how we make the sausage, so to speak. It'll be a live remote next Sunday. The event starts at 6. I go on the air at 7. That's at Union Station, AFP's headquarters. Want more information? You can find that at the John Whitmer Show Facebook page on Facebook. And, of course, while you're online, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. And you can follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Well, according to the president, one of his major goals when he first got into office the second time around was to really revamp our nation's education system. In his inaugural remarks, he said our nation's bright future relies on empowered families, engaged communities, and excellent educational opportunities for every child. He went on to say, unfortunately, the experiment of controlling American education through federal programs and dollars and the unaccountable bureaucracy those programs and dollars support has plainly failed our children, our teachers, and our families. You know, I frankly can't disagree with anything he just said. In order to fix things, the president has initiated some sweeping reforms to right the ship. But apparently the Kansas State Board of Education isn't quite on board with those changes. With us now to explain what's going on is Debbie Potter. She's the Kansas State Board of Education member from District 10. Debbie, thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you back on the show again, my friend.
Hi, John. Thank you for having me. And Phil.
So
it's been a long while.
It has. And I've followed what you've been up to while you've been, kind of remotely working up there. We've missed you down here in Wichita, but I've been kind of following what's been along. And I'm curious why you say that the Department of Education is running thing at the State Board of Education, because, well, two reasons. One, theoretically, I mean, the way it's supposed to work is the department is supposed to work for the board. Although I've known when it comes to education in Kansas, there are far too many school boards that work for at the local level, certainly, where the admin doesn't work for the board. It's the other way around, which is not the way it's supposed to be.
Precisely.
But the other problem is, in your case, theoretically, the board's made up majority are Republicans. So why isn't it working that way at the state level?
Well, I think it comes from bad habits. I mean, a lot of the people on the state board have come from local boards, and they get trained. You know, KASB comes in, and I understand from one local board member, they actually train not to have Robert's Rules of Order.
Yeah, I've heard that. Yes.
Blew my mind. I have not heard that personally, but I'm not surprised, because in my orientation package in November, it clearly stated we follow Robert's Rules of Order. And of course, we have our policy book as well.
But does it say that, or do they practice that? That's the difference.
Well, Robert's Rules of Order was in my orientation packet. Now, as I was on the board, they came around and said, oh, well, we just loosely follow Robert's Rules of Order or not at all. And then it came down to the policy, and that's kind of what blew things up a little bit, because it all really comes down to that administrative state. It doesn't matter if you're federal. It doesn't matter if you're state schools, local schools, or even other organizations that tend to have a paid staff. The staff can tend to take over the board rather than the board leading the staff. And there is that balance in there where you expect the staff to make decisions, right? You expect them to act on your behalf. But when they start basically telling you, this is what we're doing, this is how we handle that, then you know that the board isn't really instructing them any longer.
I know.
I mean, I took a transcript of just one speaker from the last meeting just to clarify exactly all that. Their counsel is like, who decided? Who decided this? Who decided that? I mean, it's just all over the place. We did this. We did that. We decided this. This is how we responded. And they're just informing us. And that's all they're doing.
I know you've been trying to push back on the Board of Education, the Department of Education. Have you had much success with that?
Well, if success is measured by I made the changes, maybe just very slightly, but not really. They were videotaping the retreats, which was something they did not do before, but that was stated in our policy that they would do, and they did change that. Really, what I have felt became clear to me in February, because I thought, oh, I'm coming onto a board. We're going to be the majority. I'm just going to have it easy. And I realized really quick the Department of Education was still running things. We were not. And so my thought was, well, I will try to push good practices. I will try to make the change of, well, at least let's follow policy. I wrote a letter to the board because I noticed that they were leaving things out knowingly and on purpose from the minutes that I had talked about. And I have never been in an organization when they ask, are there any amendments or addition to the minutes, that if a member of that group said, I would like to amend or add this, I've never been in an organization where they said no, just straight up. And that's what happened. And so I had come prepared with a letter, and I really ought to just put these on my Facebook so that your listeners can have access to the actual letter, because I'm not going to obviously read it. But I did point of order, appeal to the board, point of order, appeal to the board. They had never had anybody do that before. So it threw the chair off. She did not know how to handle that because of it. It just, nobody had really pushed back like that. And so that's the kind of thing that I think is a success, is bringing an awareness to it, if nothing else, even if I didn't succeed in getting my appeal to the board heard. And that's what I've just been doing. And then this last month, I felt like it was a fruitless thing to do. They weren't going to change. And one of the gals who I've met over the last 4 years sent me a new law. And that was something I really want your listeners to be aware of, because this is where they need to be in touch with their legislators. And it's KSA 75-4318. And what I had been saying in meetings is that, and these are just bad habits, I don't want to slur any members on the board right now, because it's just the way they've been doing business, right?
Right, okay? Right.
So 75-4318, basically what I realized is I needed to make them say the quiet part out loud. So even though I knew I was going to lose a vote, I knew before they ever came back in my heart and mind, I knew they were going to say, nope, no policies were violated, even though I had said that I believed 5 policies had been violated, and wrote them out. They did come back and say, nope, the chair and the vice chair have the power to act and speak on behalf of this board in between meetings.
Wow. We're talking with Debbie Potter, Kansas State Board of Education, District 10. Debbie, let me ask you this. Parents, I've talked to parents who feel that their schools aren't handling issues. They're having issues with their kids. You know, they go to the policy, they feel that the policies are being violated, and then they take the issue up with the principal, their superintendent, and they don't feel that their complaints are being handled to their satisfaction, mm-hmm. or they're being dismissed at the school level, and they don't feel that there's a recourse for them beyond that. If they do, how is that handled? If they're not feeling that they're getting satisfaction from their principal or their superintendent, where do they go from there?
Okay, so, and that's something that came up right away for me, is the parents coming to me because they didn't know who else to turn to. And that's one of the disturbing things, is I am actually more reachable than a lot of local school board members, because my name and number is way out there, and some of them are and some of them aren't at the local board level, right?
Right.
But so I get these calls, and as I have studied it, I know as I've studied bullying, and they should all kind of fall in that same category of recourse, but bullying specifically is in legislation. they are supposed to have the recourse of going to their local board and having the local board basically look out for their needs, right? They're their representatives. And I think that there has to be some change in that. And the reason, and for the local board's sake too, because especially at the local levels, these board members are often, you know, other teachers, their kids go to that school, their kids might be on the same baseball or softball team. They're connected in that community. And so they're like friends with the superintendent and friends with the principal. And it's really hard for them
right.
to push back on the system when the system is their next door neighbor, yeah. right?
Very
and
true.
So I think having maybe some kind of arbitration, something in place that is third party would help those local school boards have something other than the superintendent and the principals in their ear. Because what I have seen, and it's very discouraging for me to see for the parents I'm trying to help, is a lot of times these parents are told, well, you have your open mic, you know, 3 minutes.
Yeah,
or five
I've heard
minutes,
that too.
Whatever they're allowed.
I've heard that
right.
too.
And
that,
so they could,
oh, well,
yeah,
we're very open. We're very transparent. But then when you go and you try and talk, nobody wants to listen. And then if you do push back, you're told that, you know, well, you hate kids or you hate teachers or,
well,
know.
Or they take their 3-5 minutes, explain their situation, and then they go into an executive session.
Right.
And they take the superintendent and the principal back there, but not the parents, not the student.
Right.
So I tell people, I say, how would that make you feel as a parent? Oh, my word, they're talking yeah. about me and my kid back there, and I'm not being heard. And so, yeah, that I do think that's a problem. But I'm working with two parents specifically that it just seems never, hardly ever. Well, one, they just gave up, I think. The other one is still not resolved.
Debbie, I'm up on my bottom of the hour break. If folks want to connect with you, if they need to reach out, if they want information, what's the best way for them to connect with you?
Text me 316-706-3456.
She's brave. That's Debbie Potter, who sits on the Kansas State Board of Education, District 10. Debbie, thank you again for joining us. Have a very happy and safe rest of your Memorial Day weekend.
Well, John, I hope you'll have me on again because I covered 1/5 of my stuff.
I certainly will. Coming up, we'll play my conversation from earlier this week with First District Congressman Tracy Mann. He'll tell us about Trump's big, beautiful bill and how Democrats and the media are lying. I love this song. You got to love this song. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Attention sports enthusiasts. Keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play. No purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore. From action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire, the fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus.
apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Stand up and salute. We'll always recognize when we see old glory flying. There's another man dead. Oh, you can sleep in peace at night when we lay down our heads. I'm ruining that song. You realize that, Phil? Even my barbershop training tells me I'm ruining that song. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 987 and 1330 KNSS. You can always listen to us by telling your smart speaker to play KNSS radio. And of course, from breaking news to severe weather updates, just download the Always Live free Odyssey app to get started. And while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Well, earlier this week on Wednesday, to be specific, I sat down and had a conversation with First District Congressman Tracy Mann. Now, I will preface this. At the time, they hadn't passed the big, big, beautiful bill. And I even asked Tracy when he thinks they're going to do it. Lo and behold, they ended up doing it later that day. So keep in mind, in this conversation, we don't know it's going to pass. And they did it that day. But it's still good contextual information because we talk about when if he thinks it's going to pass, it did. We then talk about the Senate. We talk about the prospects. And more importantly, we talk about how Democrats in the media were lying when they say the bill's going to cut Medicaid. It's a great conversation. We'll play it for you now.
Congressman, thank you for joining us. I appreciate you taking time to step away from the House floor to give us a few minutes of your time.
John, always great being with you. Appreciate all that you do. Thanks for having me on.
Well, I know the House Rules Committee has been meeting since 1 a.m. this morning, meeting over debate to bring the president's one big, beautiful bill to the floor of the U.S. House of Representatives. And yesterday, you and House Republicans met with the president to discuss the legislation. Can you give us an update a little bit on your meetings with the president?
Sure. You know, always great being with the president. Appreciate how engaged he is, how much he cares about the country, about getting the right policies in place and about this big, beautiful bill. Met with the president yesterday, closed door, a little less than 2 hours. And, one thing I appreciate the president, he's the same in public as he is in private. Right, same person through and through. But a really good discussion about the country, what we need to keep doing to get it back on track, all the things included in this bill that he supports and the importance of getting it passed. So it was a very productive meeting and great to get to be part of it.
Tracy, I saw an article and a Channel 12 story here where you actually pushed back on some of the false misinformation, for lack of a better term, that's been coming out from the left and from your colleagues across the aisle, that Republicans want to cut Medicaid. And it's the old narrative. You know, you guys want to throw Granny over the cliff. You want to throw Granny over the cliff. Can you give us the real story on this Medicaid stuff? Because from what I understand, it's really the simple things like literally just work requirements for work-able adults and things like that. Common sense solutions.
Common sense solutions. And you're exactly right. You know, the left is fear-mongering, spreading misinformation about what's in this bill. End of the day, we're $36 trillion in debt, John, and we've got to do everything we can to stamp out waste, fraud, and abuse. And what do I mean by waste, fraud, and abuse? You know, you look at some of these programs, we have waste, 15-20% error rates in some of these programs as they're being carried out. I mean, that's just wasteful. Fraud. We have non-U.S. citizens that are receiving benefits. We have people that falsify forms to receive benefits. You know, that's fraud. Abuse. We have folks that are able-bodied adults that don't have dependents. So folks that are not cared for little kids, they're able-bodied, that instead of returning to the workforce are just receiving federal benefits. You know, these are, that's not what these programs were intended for. So we got to stamp out the waste, fraud, and abuse. And get these programs back on track so that we can preserve them for who they were originally intended for. And that's what the Big Beautiful Bill really does.
Well, that's a common sense solution that we do here in Kansas. If you're work able, if you don't have kids, there's nothing wrong with requiring someone to get a job or volunteer or at least be applying for work. That's all this does. Or for that matter, why should illegal aliens be getting Medicaid?
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. And you get into it and realize, you know, SNAP specifically is a program that's 100% federally funded, but it's state administered. And you have states, California, some other blue states, that waive work requirements for people receiving those benefits, right? So Kansas can do a great job if they, you know, to administer the program, but you have large states that don't do a good job. That have all these waivers. This is not what Congress intended. It's not what the majority of Americans would agree we ought to be doing. And so this bill puts a stop to that, and that's a good thing.
Tracy, this is a key moment in, I think, legislation that we've seen in the last decade or so. If this bill doesn't pass, the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act is scheduled to expire, which means Kansans would see roughly a $2,200 tax increase next January. That's major. Set aside the new tax breaks on things like overtime pay, you know, things like that. That's a $2,200 tax increase. Why are some of your Republican colleagues holding this thing up?
Yeah, you know, you would have to ask them, but I agree with you. You know, this bill prevents tax hikes, which is really what I believe. We do not need to be raising taxes on people. But if we don't act, then come January 1, yeah, everyone's individual on average, every Kansas is going to pay an extra $2,200. That alone is a reason to strongly support this bill. In addition to, there's some other great provisions, though, John, where you've got border security.
Right.
We are focusing the military on the threat that is China. This bill makes a down payment on the president's Golden Dome initiative that he announced yesterday. Work requirements for able-bodied individuals without dependents that we just talked about. You know, a really good bill. We do away with or reduce regulations that hinder our American energy producers, right? We need to return to American energy dominance. There's no perfect bill. This is a really, really good bill, and I think is really important for the future of the country that we get this thing passed.
Congress and the House is anticipated to vote on the bill either later today or tomorrow. What happens if the House doesn't pass it by the Friday deadline?
Well, we keep working on it. That'll be the Speaker's call if it keeps us through the weekend. I would be for staying through the weekend, willing to, happy to do that, in order to get this Big Beautiful Bill passed, because it's important to the country. But, you know, I'm optimistic it's going to go to the floor and it's going to get passed here. And if it doesn't, there's other tweaks and changes that need to be made to it, then we'll make sure that those get done.
But eventually you see it passing the House. What do you think the chances are it passes the Senate?
Yeah, well, you know, they need to move in the Senate as well. We'll see what changes they might have to it. But at the end of the day, John, I mean, we've got a you know, this is common sense legislation. There are so many good things in this bill. Optimistic it's going to get passed and signed into law. Really glad, of course, you know, the fact the president spent almost 2 hours with us yesterday morning is because he really likes this bill, sees its importance, and is doing everything he can do to make sure that it gets passed as well.
We're talking with Congressman Tracy Mann. Congressman, let me ask you, you know, far be it for me to, and I don't mean to put you on the spot here, but I got to ask you about a couple of your Democrat colleagues who forced their way into an ICE detention facility earlier, I guess it was last week. And what are your thoughts? Should they face consequences? I mean, Secretary Noem has called for that. I mean, I get it. If you want to go and you want to tour an ICE detention facility, we just talked to Ron Estes a couple weeks ago. He went down and toured the prison down in El Salvador. But you know what? You have to go through the process. You have to call them ahead of time, set up an appointment. You can't just show up and force your way in and shove around a bunch of ICE officers.
Yeah, I mean, isn't it remarkable to have this conversation, John? I mean, the oversight's one thing. There's a right way to do it. You don't block what ICE is doing. You don't break in and are part of a riot. Right? It's just incredible to me. And by the way, we ought to be supporting ICE. You know, these are the people that are protecting our communities. These are people that are deporting known violent criminals. You have to ask yourself, if someone is breaking the law to slow down ICE as they are trying to deport criminals out of our communities, what in the world do those people believe and why are they doing that? You know, that's a question that you really have to ask and answer, in my view.
Tracy, it sure seems like the border has turned around. I mean, crossings are down 97% since Donald Trump came into office. Sure does seem like what a difference a president can make.
When you look at southern border, border crossings have plummeted under President Trump. And, you know, Biden and his people, his handlers, said for years that we needed to change the laws. No, it turns out we needed to change to a president that actually enforces the laws that are on the books. But we need to now come along and codify or put into law a lot of the things the president has done, the executive order, to make sure that a future president like a Biden can never come along and do what they've done to the country. Those provisions are included in the big, beautiful bill, which is yet another reason that we need to support it and make sure that it gets passed and signed into law.
Well, and along those lines, you know, you have to wonder why some of your colleagues and some of your counterparts across the aisle, like Senator Van Hollen, still continue to defend MS-13 gang members like Albrego Garcia. I just don't understand. What are they thinking? They're putting these illegals ahead of American citizens.
I'm not going to pretend to understand what they're thinking on the state is. I would say I think you can pretty easily determine what most Americans are thinking, and they think this is crazy, right? And you saw that at the ballot box last go around, and if folks on the left want to double down and support illegal criminals that are in the country over U.S. citizens, let's have that debate and let's keep having elections that show what some of these folks really believe and some of these misguided priorities. At the end of the day, we've got to make the United States of America everything that it can possibly be, having a secure border, having a government that protects people, having citizens feeling safe in their communities is a vital part of that, and really glad to support everything I can do to make sure we see that happen, and credit President Trump for promises made, promises kept in regards to border security.
Well, Congressman, I know I've got to let you run. You're going off to a floor vote, but I've got to ask, you've got, what, 8, 10, 12 people running for governor. Any interest in running for governor, man for governor?
You know what? We're hyper focused on getting the big beautiful bill done, and trying to support the country. It was an honor, you know, to get to be lieutenant governor. Had an absolute blast doing that with Jeff Collier, but we're focused on doing what we can do to do right by the country here in Congress.
Well, I had to ask. Everybody else seems to be wanting to run. So, Congressman, if folks want to connect with you, if they're interested in reaching out, what's the best way for them to connect with you?
Yeah, sure. You know, our website, man.house.gov, is a great way, or can reach any of our offices, you know, our office in D.C. or Manhattan or Dodge City. It's an absolute honor to get to represent the Big First District and to be part of helping Kansas move forward as a state.
Congressman, thank you again for joining us. It's always a pleasure. Keep up the good work, my friend.
Hey, thanks, John. Have a great day.
Great to sit down with Tracy on Wednesday. And I had to ask if he was running for governor. Would it surprise anyone? We'll take a quick break. Our studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Wow, we came back a little faster than we thought we would. That's okay. You know, hey, it's live radio. What can I tell you? That's all right. Stick around. We've got a fantastic guest coming up. Monica Page, who's a White House correspondent for Frontlines, will be with us. Looking forward to that conversation. We'll be back right after this. You gotta love Johnny Cash. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Like Maven Patriotic. Nephew of my Uncle Sam. KNSS is always here for you. Make sure you tell your legislators to keep AM radio in vehicles now. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to keep AM radio in cars. And make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. And, of course, give me a call. Studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. We'd love to hear from you. Well, Turning Points USA recently named Frontlines reporter Monica Page as its first White House correspondent. Before joining Turning Points USA, Monica worked with One America News and Newsmax. She's also web produced for the Emmy Award-winning outlet Daily Mail. She will be a leading female contributor at the upcoming 10th Annual Young Women's Leadership Summit, and we are honored to have her join us. Monica, thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you on the show.
John, thank you so much for having me. It's such a pleasure to be joining you guys.
So let me start by, I guess, first off, I've got to ask you about your, oh, and by the way, congratulations. I know you're a recent newlywed, so congratulations on that.
Thank you. Thank you. It's great.
Let me start by asking you about your experiences in the White House. I mean, what a difference. White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt is sure an upgrade over Karine Jean-Pierre. What a competence over a DEI hire.
Oh, it is night and day difference, John. I can tell you that. I mean, previously in the last administration, they wouldn't even look at me. I mean, people in the comms department or whoever was working behind the scenes would never answer my emails, would never help me get a meeting with Karine Jean-Pierre, wouldn't even call on me in the briefing room. Now I just got called on just this past Monday, and I had about two or three meetings with Caroline Leavitt in this current administration, and it seems as if I have all access. All the chains are off. I can finally report on the things I want to, finally get answers and really bolster my own personal reporting as well as for Turning Point, our audiences. So it feels great. It feels great to finally be included on everything and really, you know, not feel like I'm being held back from doing my job.
The White House has changed the way it handles press briefings, giving more attention to outlets and individuals often referred to as, quote, new media. How has the traditional mainstream White House press corps treated you, considering you're not part of that, you know, typical mainstream media, but rather part of this new media, you know, and the president including you in the daily briefings, for example?
Yeah, well, to put it simply, we coexist. We can kind of feel a little bit of a tension in there, given that we don't have seats in the press briefing room. We stand along the side because that's the only way that we can ever be part of it. That room actually is not as big as many people think. So we try to get there nice and early and try to get a good spot in the briefing room, whether that's in the back or along the sides. And Caroline always calls on us, thankfully. But the mood in the room is kind of, it can get kind of tense, especially since the previous administration really bred a sense of elitism among some of these mainstream reporters that just because you have a seat in the briefing room means you will get called on. But that is not any longer, you know, what we're dealing with now. I get called on and I don't have a seat, whereas last administration I would never. So it feels great to be part of something finally bigger than myself. And what I also find is very interesting is a lot of these media outlets kind of lied to the American people when it comes to
Joe Biden's decline.
Yeah, that's just to put it lightly. And now you have a credibility crisis. And where do these audiences turn now? Well, they turn to people like us who have been bringing people the truth about everything over the last 4 years in very blunt terms and in very real perspective. And there's no more denying reality. So I think a lot of these mainstream media outlets are catching on to that and are kind of seeing us as, you know, step aside, we're the new kids on the block.
Do you think they perceive you as a threat in some way?
I do. I do see it as that, because they know that their outlet is dying. They know that their outlets are not really being viewed as much as or listened to as much as we are now. And if you lied to the American people over the last 4 years about something that they could see with their own eyes, what else could you possibly be lying about? And I think that that is where we step in and we say, hey, you know, you have a home with us. You can trust us since we've been giving you the real news unfiltered and you know, with actual facts. And that's the important thing here, John, is that we are always fact-based. And a lot of these outlets, like the New York Times, Politico, CNN, they like to try and write hit pieces on people like myself, saying that, oh, I'm echoing right-wing talking points, when a simple Google search will show that I'm not exemplifying a right-wing talking point. I am doing my research, and I'm making sure that everything is based in fact.
You know, one of the things that, by the way, we're talking with Frontline's reporter Monica Page. One of the things a lot of us noticed, if we ever saw under the Biden administration at the end, he'd be in the White House or in the Oval Office doing one of these little scrums. The minute the organized event was over with, the staff would immediately come in and say, that's it, guys. That's it. Get out, get out, get out. And he'd just sit there blankly as staff tried to shoo out everyone. It's interesting the difference now with Trump. He'll sit there and talk indefinitely. Sometimes, you know, you cringe. There are a few moments when you're like, oh, I wish he hadn't said that. But at least he'll do it. Joe Biden was so incapable and the staff was so trying to insulate him and protect him. And I think it's interesting. The press were basically complicit in that cover up.
I really love that you brought this up, because there is a huge difference. And this is one of the main differences that I have been speaking out about, is when you have foreign leaders that show up to the White House, for example, the president will make sure to greet each leader outside the double doors of the Oval Office here on the West Wing of the White House and give a handshake, take a photo and say, welcome to the White House. Come inside. Let's talk. And he makes sure it's public as well, where it's on national television. Anybody can tune in to see what the president is saying. And it goes for hours. It goes for 45 minutes to an hour, hour and a half. We just saw that with the South African president. We've seen that with Ukrainian President Zelensky. Even though it may be awkward, it's just real. And I think that's what many people were missing out on. I mean, the last administration, like you mentioned, it was, oh my goodness, it had to be about 3 minutes of the president sitting with a foreign leader who he wouldn't even greet at the White House front doors, by the way. And they would sit there for 3 minutes. They would say, oh, thanks for coming, mumble a couple things, a couple of sentiments, and immediately the comms people would say, thank you, press, everyone leaves. But now it's so different. And I think that's what's important, is President Trump's foreign policy and his policies in general at this point are not about being polite anymore. It's about being real. It's about, you know, maybe like these soft ambushes when you see with the South African president, hey, you know, your country is committing white genocide. Let me show you. Let me show you the articles. And it's about being real. It's not about being polite anymore, because honestly, politeness, it only gets you so far.
Yeah, and I mean, I know the press is calling that an ambush, but you can't ambush somebody with stuff. He'd seen that. The South African president had seen all that stuff. Zelensky knew this stuff was coming. And it, look, you're a world leader. If you're not prepared to have a tough question thrown your way, you're Joe Biden.
Right. that's a great point. Even the comms department back here has been so helpful and so accessible in providing us with all the information that we need. But the last administration, man, what I just can't believe. I mean, I can believe it, but just to see the press and working with the White House in such a obvious cover-up. Everybody knows somebody, unfortunately, who has gone through a cognitive decline, whether that's a grandparent or a parent or an uncle, whatever it may be. And to deny the people of what they're seeing on the South Lawn. I remember watching Joe Biden shuffling from the White House to his Marine One helicopter, taking off for another trip to Delaware on vacation, where he spent 577 out of more than 1,400 days in office on vacation, laying on a beach. It's unbelievable. And then you saw the tactics that this White House used. They would flank Joe Biden with members of his staff to try and hide the shuffling gait, to try and mask the garbled speech. The signs were there. And I spoke to physicians and neurologists on what exactly we were seeing. And they all said that the signs were there. And this has to be the greatest cover-up of all time. And I think we needed a further investigation into what exactly the White House knew and why they did what they did to cover it up, and who knew exactly.
I've asked members of our federal delegation, our congressional delegation, off the record this question, and I know their answers. On the record, they're politicians, they're not going to say. Let me ask you this. You've been in the room, you've been in the White House during the Biden presidency. We all know what we saw. Was it as bad when you were intimate and when you were in those same rooms with him? Was it as bad? Because I love what the reporter said the other day when she called it elder abuse. It for those of us who saw this and looking at it third party, it sure seemed like it. It sure seemed like Joe Biden was cognitively impaired and they were really covering it up.
Yeah, well, I can definitely tell you with utmost confidence that any time we would go to an event, I would make sure that I would try and get the front row spot just so I can get a good look at Joe Biden, because I really wanted to see, let me just see the signs and am I seeing what I'm really seeing? Is the press telling the truth? And I just wanted to give benefit of the doubt. And every time I would come up disappointed. When you see the president up close, Joe Biden at the time, he was wearing a lot of makeup. He his face would not match the color of his hands. You can tell he would cover his eyes with those aviator sunglasses, and he was just stiff. Something looked wrong every single time, and it just looked uncomfortable. It felt weird to see him. I always made sure to make sure I get the front row spot on the departures or the arrivals, and even at speaking engagements in bright lighting, I just had to see. And it's just weird. He never looked like himself. It looks kind of puppety, caked up makeup on his face. It was very jarring. That's like the best way to put it, I think.
That's fascinating to hear this from someone who was there firsthand. And then when you look at it in the context of the people around him had to know this, and yet they wanted to run him for another 4-year term, knowing full well that he was incapable of serving another 4-year term. It really was an intent to deceive the American public. And that begs the question then, was who was running the White House?
Exactly. And there are people can speculate, of course, that it could have been his staffers, or it could have been Hunter Biden at times. But I mean, there's just no way of telling, and there needs to be an in-depth investigation into this. And I can't believe that people said, it was the June 27th debate against President Trump. No, it wasn't. It was way before that. And do you remember after that debate, Jill Biden, his wife, Dr. Jill, as much of a doctor as Dr. Pepper, goes, you did such a great job.
Oh, yes.
You answered all the questions. What?
Yeah.
And then she said that, talking to him like he's a 5-year-old, answering all the questions. What is she talking about? And they wanted to run him again. This guy had he been tested for cancer? I mean, he said that he had cancer, and everyone threw that under the bus. Everyone said, oh, no, he's fine. He probably has some kind of like skin cancer. But did they test him enough? Were they specifically not trying to include that in his physical every time they would test him? The president doesn't need a cognitive test. He's sharp. I see him every day behind closed doors. Are you kidding me? And now everyone's looking in retrospect, probably kicking themselves. We should not have accepted this. We should not have accepted these answers. And I think, honestly, it's a little too late. People should have started speaking up the way we were during the time that it was happening.
Yeah, well, we were all a bunch of tinfoil conspiracy theorists. So I know, Monica, you're going to be part of Turning Point USA's 10th annual Young Women's Leadership Summit. You'll be a featured presenter at that. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, I'm very excited. This is going to be my first Young Women's Leadership Summit. So I'm very excited to meet all like-minded women and individuals who are coming out to Dallas. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be great. I feel like it's going to feel like one big celebration. There's so much to talk about between making America healthy again and new policies for that is this White House being the most pro-family, pro-woman White House that we've seen, especially since the last 4 years or anything but that. So it's going to be great to really connect with people and speak one-on-one to people and talk about their own experiences. And I think it'll help my own personal reporting because I love hearing from women. I love hearing from others who, you know, are dealing with everyday situations. And it's not every day that you get to speak with women across America. So it's going to be a beautiful event. I can't wait. Turning Point always puts on the best events. So this is going to be fabulous.
Well, if people want information on it, they can find that at YWLS2025.com. And of course, if they want to follow you on X, I follow you on X. They can find you there at Monica Page TV on X, correct?
Yes, that's me. Thank you so much.
Of course. Monica, thank you again for joining us. It's been a pleasure. Fascinating conversation. We'll have to connect again sometime.
Likewise. Anytime, John. Thank you so much.
She is awesome. Wow. I mean, she is awesome. We'll take a quick break. Our studio lines are open. 316-869-1330. Give me a call. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Don't forget about AFP, Americans for Prosperity. They're the great folks who believe American, you know, freedom and opportunity are the keys to unleashing prosperity for all. We'll be broadcasting live from their headquarters here in Wichita at Union Station next Sunday. Show starts at 7, but the event starts at 6. You can join us. We'll have some refreshments, great conversation, and you can get on the air. Come on down. We'll have some fun. Be broadcasting live from their headquarters, and you should be there. Should have a blast. More information is available online on Facebook at the John Whitmer Show. So absolutely make sure that you swing by and you can get information on the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. So what a fascinating interview. I mean, I was hoping that if I went there, she'd do exactly what she did. Yeah. And just kind of tell us what, because, you know, we've all saw it, the cognitive decline.
Mm-hmm.
But I've asked, you know, like Rod Estes, and I've asked Dr. Marshall, and they're politicians, so they won't answer that question. She just full out just said it.
Well, it's nice to finally talk to someone who, I mean,
she's been there.
She hasn't been on the sidelines. She's been there.
Been there in the press, in that, you know, the room that we've all seen. Mm-hmm. If you've ever watched a press briefing, and I, you know, we all saw Karine Jean-Pierre. She was obviously a DEI, unqualified DEI hire. And what a difference the current, you know, White House press secretary.
Yes.
But it was fascinating to hear her talk about, you know, like the makeup when she said, you know, the difference between like his hand and his face and how the caked on makeup but how they thought they could pull off another 4 years of that. Well, they knew they couldn't. They knew. I mean, what were they going to do? Just put him in a room and wheel him out when he needed him? Or did they just fully expect that Kamala was going to be president by now?
I have theories about all of this stuff. But, yeah, it makes you wonder. If we saw all of this, the American public, we saw all of this.
Yeah. Did they think we were just stupid? Do you ever see the movie? Have you ever seen the movie Dave?
Dave.
Yes.
I was about ready to go there.
Yes.
Yes, I have.
By the way, if you're a listener and you haven't seen the movie Dave, then you should go watch it. DVR, you look on your, you know, Cox on Demand or whatever, or go on Netflix and look up the movie Dave.
Kevin Kline.
Yeah, Kevin Kline plays the president. And in one scene, what they've done is the president is having an affair. And so oftentimes they hire Dave, who runs a temp agency and happens to look like the president, also played by Kevin Kline.
Mm-hmm.
And so what they do is they hire Kevin Kline, who runs a temp agency, to appear at events. You know, so the president can go upstairs and sleep with his mistress while Kevin Kline
walks out of the you know, the banquet hall and waves to the press as he climbs into the limousine. Mm-hmm. And so that he's the body man, basically, so that the president can then be appearing to return to the White House when he's really upstairs schnooking his, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Well, apparently what happens is the president has a serious heart attack. And so then all of a sudden they decide that we're going to have the Dave, the, you know, the temp guy pretend to be the president mm-hmm. for a little while we and hope the president recovers from his massive stroke. And I'm telling you, that's what Biden felt like.
And we see in the movie, we see all the handlers.
Yes.
Which basically mirrors what we've been seeing the last 4 years was President Biden
the handlers.
Had
yeah.
a lot of handlers.
Chief of staff, the comms guys, and the wife, you know, in the movie Dave, the wife doesn't know about the swap until she figures it out because she sees Dave naked. And then she actually buys into it. And then they start, you know, buying into it and trying to make changes and all that. In a Biden case, I think Jill Biden was in on it. How could she not be? But again, it was just fascinating talking to Monica because I think they had to know the press corps and the press corps was in on it. Mm-hmm. In the movie, the press corps is not in on it. But in this case, I think the White House press corps was fully on board because they hated Trump so much. They had TDS and they didn't want Trump in the White House so bad. They were just fine with going along with the conspiracy. So, yeah. It's just fascinating. It was a fascinating interview. She and I talked a little bit after, I set up the interview. We talked for a few minutes. She said, gave me her cell phone and says, hey, if you ever want to talk, give me a call. Trust me, I'm going to give her a call. We'll take a quick break, pay a few bills. And then Gaurav Lal is the head of partnerships at True Play Games. Will tell us why he says Colorado is what happens when Christians don't actively teach moral truth. Something's got to be happening. I don't know what they're doing in Colorado. Probably too much marijuana. I don't know. 316-869-1330. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, ESW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Attention sports enthusiasts, keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play. No purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore. From action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire, the fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus DNC supply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. I want to remind you to stay informed with up-to-the-minute news by downloading the Odyssey app or telling Alexa or Google Home to play KNSS Radio. And, of course, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. We are still trying to connect with our bottom of the hour guest. In the meantime, we'll take calls. Our studio lines are open 316-869-1330 if you'd like to call in. I don't know if you've heard about this story. It's an interesting story out of Florida. You know, some of the strange things. This is out of Largo, Florida. A 72-year-old man was walking down the street when he was attacked by an unhinged blue-haired, shocker, blue-haired millennial. Police say the elderly man was wearing, here it is, a MAGA hat. How dare he wear that, you know, MAGA hat, minding his own business when he was approached by Laura Garrett. She demanded to know why he was a Trump supporter. She then poured some sort of hot liquid on him and used a can to pummel the guy's head. She pummeled a senior citizen, all because he was, I mean, this is literally TDS, Trump derangement syndrome gone wild. She was, then she turned around and got unruly with the police. According to reports, she caused one of the officers, pushed him, caused him to fall. So, oh, great. Now you not only assaulted a senior citizen, you're assaulting cops. We'll see what kind of time you do for that. Court documents go on to state that while she was placed in handcuffs, she intentionally dropped her full body weight on the ground. So, you know, what is it with these people? She's been charged with battery of a person 65 years or older, which is another grade level up of severity, battery on a law enforcement officer, and obstructing or resisting. You know, look, I get that. I didn't like Joe Biden. But you don't have to go around assaulting people because you happen to be a Biden supporter or a Kamala Harris supporter or, in this case, a Trump supporter. I mean, this is just asinine. It's crazy. You know, I mean, I don't mean to paint with a broad brush, but why is it the blue-haired millennials always are the ones stirring up a stink like this? I just don't get it. And it's like the folks that I've encountered, and Andy Hoosier and I encountered when we went down and talked to folks on the streets of Wichita. And you would think Wichita would be insulated from this, but it's really not. I mean, these people are everywhere, and they're just unhinged. And there's no doubt that Trump supporters are targets for the far left, in no small part because of the rhetoric coming from cable television and the Democrat Party. You know, when they're constantly going around saying that Donald Trump and MAGA and their supporters are, quote, threats to democracy, this is what you get. You get 72-year-old men assaulted because he's wearing a hat. I mean, this is minding his own business, walking down the street. He's 72 years old. And I'm looking at the mugshot. This is just some blue-haired ninny. You know, I hope she does serious time. Well, and looking at the charges, I mean, battery is bad enough. Battery on a law enforcement officer, that just escalates this whole thing.
And of course, it's Florida, so they love to. I mean, it's like that's like committing a crime in Texas. You do it down in Florida. Ron DeSantis knows how to prosecute crime down there. I mean, come on. But seriously, this is crazy. And the problem is, it's all because you disagree. Why have we gotten to a point? Look, I disagree with people all the time. You know, I'm too conservative for a lot of folks. Doesn't mean we can't get along. Just means we disagree. Guess what? Don't talk about it. You know, if we're going to disagree on politics, great. Talk about religion. But no, seriously, if you're going to disagree on politics, then find something else to talk about. Talk about sports. Talk about the Chiefs. Well, not in my case, because I don't like the Chiefs. But you know what I mean. Am I wrong here, Phil? No. I mean, no, this is craziness. You get a 72-year-old man, you're going to walk up to him and assault him because you don't like his Trump hat.
And I've seen instances of this.
Yes.
More than once.
Yes.
You see this.
Everywhere. It's crazy. And what's funny is I'm wearing a Trump hat right now. Bring it on, blue hair. I mean, come on. But this is craziness. It's just to a level that makes no sense to me.
Well, and it totally goes counteractive to what they're and I'm using air quotes here, preaching.
Oh, yes. About, well, that's why I love calling them the intolerant, tolerant left.
About love and
yes.
peace and,
yeah.
and let's not hate.
Well, that's like the line from the protest on Saturday where it was, you know, 86-47 and then make love. You know, it's like, no, you people are so full of bullpucky.
Bullpucky.
Huh? Yeah. I mean, come on. It's... And the funny part is you don't see this from Republicans. You don't see this from the MAGA right. I mean, yeah, we had the January 6th, but that was such a small, the vast majority of those people were just peaceful. They were there to exercise their First Amendment rights. Some of them went in, but most of them didn't break in. I mean, the assaults were just a small fringe group and they went to jail. Rightfully so.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's of course, then you talk about the 2020 and the riots, and they were burning cities and burning cars and assaulting cops, and no charges were brought.
Those were mostly peaceful.
Oh,
I use air quotes.
You're right. I'm sorry. I'm passing judgment. You're right. I'm being mean. I'm picking on them. You're right. Those were mostly peaceful. What was I thinking? How can I be so judgmental? I'm not allowed to pick on those. I mean, it's just... this kind of stuff, you know, you assault a 72-year-old man because he's wearing a hat because you disagree with him. These people, I mean, just can we get a freaking job? We'll take a quick break, see if we can get Gulov. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. I want to hear what you think. 316-869-1330. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show. We'll be back right after this. It's the 4th of July, Saturday in the park. I think it was the 4th of July. We're having way too much fun tonight. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. I want to remind you about our friends at Americans for Prosperity. AFP believes freedom and opportunity are the keys to unleashing prosperity for everybody. You have the power to change the trajectory of our city and our country. Make your voice heard today. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org and come join us next Sunday. We'll be broadcasting live from AFP's headquarters here in Wichita, right downtown at Union Station. Event starts at 6. I go on the air at 7. We'll have a lot of fun, have some food, have some snacks, have a bunch of people there. And, you know, if you're hanging out, I might just pull you on the air. So come join us next Sunday. Phil will be here. I will be there. And we'll all be having fun.
I carry a little favor with an area meteorologist. So yeah. I've called ahead and I've kind of made
no rain.
Yeah.
Put in a word with God. Put in a word with the big guy. No rain. Not like last week. So yes, AFP headquarters, all thanks to our friends at Eck Insurance. So we're going to have a great time. So make sure you come down next Saturday. If you want more information, you can find it on the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. We've got an event set up there. Sign up, get some more information. So we'll be next Sunday broadcasting live. All right. get your flak jacket, Phil, because I'm about to pull the grenade. Here it goes. This is like my least favorite month of the year. Starts day after tomorrow.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Okay. So first off, my pride flag is red, white, and blue. Okay, the colors of my pride flag, red, white, blue. So here's my question. Why do veterans get a day and pride gets a month? I'm curious about that. The president has said that he wants to look at, expressed a desire to rename Veterans Day and establish a new holiday, and is looking at ways to change that. Basically, he's looking at like doing a Veterans Day or Victory Day and expanding it. I tend to agree. I mean, I think, veterans died in service to our country. They've had multiple, Pride gets a freaking month. Veterans get a day. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I've always asked that question, is why veterans get a day and Pride gets an entire month? And, of course, they've co-opted the whole rainbow flag. And I know it's a cultural question more than anything else, but I'm curious. I'm curious what the listeners think. 869-1330. I'm just waiting for the grenade to go off. But I mean, and I know Veterans Day is a formal national holiday, while as Pride Month is more of a grassroots thing. It's a cultural observance. It's not an actual, but it's still, I don't know. Maybe I'm just, but my pride flag is still red, white, and blue, and that'll never change.
I think it's the sacrifice. I think it's the sacrifice that the men and women of this country in the armed services.
Yeah, they deserve more than a day. Made.
And it's sacrifices. It's not just death. I mean, that's the ultimate sacrifice.
Right, obviously. But it's the family.
But it's the family.
Right, the kids. I don't know.
It begs the question, why does it only get a day? These people have done so much for so many to allow us to have the freedom to say what we want.
Right.
But it also the freedom to live in a land where
Well, and again, along
all these freedoms,
the freedom ideas. Like, look, if you want to be gay. I don't care. You want to choose that lifestyle? I support your right to choose that lifestyle. I support your right as an adult, 18, to be trans. You want to be trans? Be trans. I don't care. You want to call yourself a kumquat? You can. I don't care. It's your, if you're an adult, that's the key. Have to be an adult. I'm not into the kids stuff, but if you're an adult, do what you want. But the president's proposals include renaming Veterans Day. He proposed renaming Veterans Day to Victory Day for World War I, and then he wants to establish another Victory Day for World War II. So he's looking to do a couple of those, and then he's also looking for like a Veterans Month to something along those lines as well. He's looking for Victory Day for Vietnam. He's trying to basically find other ways to honor the men and women who serve our country and then their families and the sacrifices that they make, all of that is great. I think that's because you have Memorial Day, but Memorial Day is different than what he's looking at. He's looking at ways to honor people who serve. And this whole June thing is always by, it's like the worst month. It's like, all the Netflix and everybody turns all the rainbow and other, it's like, okay, just get it over with. Get me to July,
Yeah.
I don't know. It just irks me.
You can't skip June.
Why?
Get to July. Well,
can't we just skip June? Let's just skip June. just skip June. April sucks too because it's tax month. So why don't we just go from like March? Go to straight to July.
I'll tell you just a brief story. I lived overseas when I was in high school. I lived in Australia.
Oh, and down under. And, throwing a shrimp on a barbie.
And they celebrated. World War I was a big deal to them because they were just basically a brand new country on their own. And they supported Great Britain's fight in the war. But the Great Britain sent a lot of Aussies and New Zealanders to their deaths, and they fought valiantly, brilliantly. Anyway, I got to attend a couple of different Armistice Day is what they call it in Australia, but it would be Veterans Day. just the pageantry in it and the reverence for the military, for the people who fought, for the people who came back, who are still living. I would love to see, and I think we do have that here in the States.
Yeah.
And so I would like to expand on what President Trump wants to do. I think that's a great idea, and I think these people deserve it.
Yeah, they do. And whenever I see a service member now, I try and go over to them, thank them for their service. Same thing with cops and fire. Same. Yeah. I always try and walk up to cops, walk up to when I see somebody in uniform and thank them for their service. Mm-hmm. Except Blake Carpenter. I always give him a hard time just because, you know, no, I mean, even Blake. I mean, anytime I see somebody who's served in uniform, I try and thank him for their service because it is a sacrifice. Mm-hmm. And the other key component to this is thanking the families, because it does, I mean, just if nothing else, it's what they're having to, are they going to come home? It's the time away from family. It's that lingering doubts of, you know, ooh, is this the call? Is he's away or she's away? And the phone rings is this the call? And I think people don't remember that, don't think about that enough. And I'm sorry, it's trying to equate, well, you get a month and you get a day. For me, it should be the other way around, yeah. If anything.
Yeah, I agree.
Especially when one is a sacrifice and the other is just a choice. So, for me, sorry, I know that you can have that. We can have the debate of whether or not it's a choice or you're born that way. Mm-hmm. I'm happy to have that debate. I would love to have that debate with somebody. I would win, but I would love to have that debate with them. I would still defend their right to choose that lifestyle. Again, choice. But, you know, we'll have that debate. Anytime they want to have that debate. If they're an adult, we can have that debate. Again, don't forget, next Sunday, we'll be broadcasting live from the headquarters of Americans for Prosperity, Kansas, right here in Wichita, down at Union Station. Should be a blast. Also, don't forget our carry-on commentaries, that 60-second daily future that airs right here 3 times a day, 5 days a week, right here on KNSS. Thank you for joining us this evening. In the meantime, carry on, fellow deplorables, and have a great rest of your Memorial Day weekend.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery, though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out.
Every home run.
Gone.
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.